This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to What the Pod!
The champ is here!
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. Thank you for joining us and joining the Southeast Division champion, Washington Capitals. Thanks for joining us. Follow me on Twitter at Brando Cash. Follow the show at WTP_podcast. And joining me, as always, via Skype, we got Coach Dan. What's going on, dude?
I'm doing good after last night's game. How are you doing?
I'm feeling really good. That was a team that I enjoyed watching. That was a great game. Let's talk about this game up against Winnipeg to start this off that sealed the deal for the Capitals, making them the Southeast Division champions once again, taking a year off last year because who knows why, but they took the year off. They're back where they should be at the top of the Southeast. This game, I got to say, I tweeted this right after the game. This game felt like a 2009 Washington Capitals game. There was a lot of high energy, high hopes. The crowd was into it. The team was into it. Everybody seemed to be working. This reminded me of the best I've ever felt during the playoffs in 2009 up until, you know, the last game against the Penguins. But this really was the Capitals of old. This was the Ovechkin of old. What has been clicking, do you think, for this team so well in this month of April, which only has one loss so far?
Well, I think it comes down to the fact that they finally, it appears, understand the system. And I remember that a friend of mine sent me an article that I actually checked out as well. It's an article from Adam Vingan, who was on the show with us before on NBCWashington.com. And it was talking about Adam Oates' emphasis on execution over production as the Caps rolling. And I think part of the article, and other things I've read, is that the reason that these guys are doing so good now is they finally understand the system, and it isn't just that they know where they're supposed to be, but they know where everybody else is going to be without even looking up. They know where everybody's going to be at the right time, and they can start making passes without having to think for a couple of seconds to go, okay, wait, is he going to be to my left or is he going to be in front of me? Like, they know exactly where everybody's going to be. They know how to play the system well, and everything is starting to gel. I think the lines have also sort of settled down. You're not seeing a lot of guys getting moved around in different places. Erat settled in on the second line. The first line has settled very nicely with Johansson on the left, Backstrom in the middle, and Ovechkin on the right. Erat's fit in real well in the middle with Ribeiro and Brouwer. Perreault's playing exceptionally well lately. Part of the article was actually about how he needs to settle down and stop worrying about the scoring and just worry about playing well. And if he was playing well, the points would come. He's played well with Chimera and Eric Fair. And then the fourth, I think, has done well with Beagle and Hendricks and Volpatti. I think everything's gone well. I think we've been talking about this since the beginning. Once they understand the system, this will go well, and it turned out that was the case.
Yeah, this was a team that started out this shortened season in last place. I mean, it looked really dim. It looked terrible. You were scared to watch games because these guys were coming out and they were playing so poorly. But this is a complete different team right now. I think it was Brouwer who said in an interview, you just kind of brought this up, where people know where they're supposed to be and where their teammates are supposed to be. Brouwer said that Oates has given each person a specific job on a shift, and no one goes and tries to be the hero. No one tries to do anything they're not supposed to. They know where they're supposed to be, and they know what their job is, and they stay within that job. So I think that's really the key here, is that Adam Oates is making his system very well known, and the guys are getting it. This is so different than what we've seen at the beginning of the year, where these guys didn't know what they were doing. This team, it seems to me, is gelling at the right moment, and with only two games left in the regular season, this is the perfect time for these guys to get hot.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. As we saw last year with the Los Angeles Kings, they were the AC. They got really hot. They were able to go on and win the Stanley Cup. Hopefully these guys haven't peaked too early, but to some extent they kind of needed to so they can make that run to win the division and lock up the number three seed in the playoffs. And what you were talking about with how bad they started, I mean, did anyone expect this to be the case? I know a lot of fans probably expected it to be the case, but I don't think anybody around the league, I mean, what, throughout the first half of the season, it was, what's wrong with the Capitals? What's wrong with Ovechkin? Why is nothing working? The first 11 games, they were 2-8-1. I mean, at one point, they were the last in the entire NHL. Now, they're 26-18-2, good for 54 points, which has won them the Southeast Division, and they're the number three seed in the Eastern Conference playoffs. I mean, right now they're playing exceptionally well. I think they're a team that people don't want to face in the playoffs right now. And we'll see how things go. And the nice thing is that now they have some time where they can sort of relax, not necessarily put on the pressure, depending on how they want to finish up. I think we're going to see Neuwirth play probably in Thursday's game, maybe also on Saturday's game against the final against the Bruins, although I would expect Holpe to play because they want to keep him going, getting into the playoffs to see who they're going to go up against. But I think these, I mean, you might see Schultz back in the lineup, unfortunately. You might see Volsky back in the lineup. A couple guys moved around getting some more ice time. You know, you don't want to, you want to make sure that your stars and your big name guys, your big production guys aren't going to get injured or anything like that. But I think these guys right now are sitting pretty good going into the playoffs.
No, they got to feel good right now, especially winning the Southeast in D.C. with that crowd. That crowd was electric last night. You could tell that everybody was really happy to have this team winning the way they were, the way they've been winning. But let's talk about this real quick. The playoffs are not set in stone for a lot of teams. There's a lot of stuff. The Capitals are locked into that third seed right now. But besides that, there's a lot of movement underneath of them. And one of those teams may be Ottawa that they're going to be facing in the playoffs. So coming up this Thursday, you're going to have a game that could look like a playoff game, that it could be a team that you see very early on in the Stanley Cup playoffs. So with this kind of being possibly being like a dry run for a playoff game, what do you think the Capitals are going to be looking for in this next game against Ottawa?
I mean, they're going to be looking for a win, I think, obviously. But I think, they're going to be looking. I think they're looking to continue to play the system, play it well, and to show that they don't have any sort of mental errors. They want to be going into the playoffs firing on all cylinders, making sure that they're doing things correctly. They don't want to come out with any of these sort of stupid problems that they had earlier in the season, where guys are making bonehead mistakes. I think that's the biggest thing over these next two games. You know, maybe if you want to go out and you kind of want to beat Ottawa, and maybe you want to beat them badly and sort of send a message if they're the team you're going to go up against. But I think right now they just want to make sure that they're doing everything correctly and there's no major issues that they may have to look at before the first game of the playoffs.
Yeah, this is going to be a big one for these guys, I think, at least on Thursday, because Ottawa's the only team in April right now that has a win against the Capitals. The Capitals won every other game in April except for their last meeting with Ottawa. So hopefully the Capitals have something to prove, but not so much to prove that someone gets injured or anything like that before the playoffs. So there's a lot of stuff that could be going on, but let's talk about some of the other people that the Capitals might be going against. Ottawa's not the only team that is a possibility of seeing the Capitals in the playoffs. We also possibly could have Winnipeg, possibly the Islanders, and what are some of the other teams that the Capitals could see?
Well, technically speaking, yeah, Winnipeg is one of the teams they could face, but no, I think they're screwed. I think Winnipeg's the only team left in the East that is currently not in the playoffs. They're sitting at ninth. They're 1 point out of the eighth seed and technically also the seventh seed. But I think Winnipeg's screwed. They have to win their last game. They only have one game left. The most points they can get, I believe, is 53. And Ottawa, who's sitting at 52 points, still has, I think, three games left, unless they're already playing tonight and ESPN hasn't updated their standings. I think Winnipeg's screwed. But, yes, technically on paper, they could hypothetically hypothetically, they cannot be placed in the Jets anymore because it looks like the Islanders got another point. So it looks like Winnipeg can finish no higher than seventh. So technically the Caps could end up facing Toronto. That's a possibility. I think that would be a good series. I think Toronto's going to be fired up to finally be back in the playoffs after something like a 7-year absence. So they're definitely going to be fired up and ready to play. The Islanders are a team that a lot of people are talking about that you don't want to go up against in the playoffs. And the Islanders actually have a pretty good team. They're a young team. They kind of remind me a lot of what the Capitals were going through a couple of years ago. I think they're a team that I would not necessarily want the Caps to face, but as of this moment, who they would be taking on in the first round of the playoff. Ottawa is a possibility, and then there's the New York Rangers, which, as the way things seem to be going these last few years, they'll probably end up playing the Rangers.
Of course.
I mean, we always seem to be playing the freaking Rangers in the first or second round of the playoffs over the past couple of years. So with our luck, it'll be them or the Islanders. My guess right now, I'm going to go out and say we're going to end up playing against the New York Islanders.
That's going to be an interesting series if that's it, especially you have, former Capital Keith Acoin on the Islanders.
I was just thinking
You know, Keith Acoin, he was a guy that has a lot of grit, but who would have thought? I mean, this has got to be the strangest Stanley Cup playoffs in the East in the longest time. We've got the Islanders. We've got Toronto. I mean, where are the Devils? Where are the Flyers? These teams that were kind of staples for the postseason are now, playing golf early on.
Yeah, I mean, these are pretty interesting teams that didn't make the playoffs The Devils just had a really bad run with Ilya Kovalchuk going down, kind of cost them. Brodeur was out for a little while. Sabres had a horrible year. I don't know what happened to them. They sort of fell off, had a little bit of a mini fire sale, and they may have a bigger one this summer. And then the Flyers, another one of those seasons where they just completely just crapped out and had a bad season. They'll get a nice draft pick out of it, I'm sure.
Yeah, so this is going to be a very interesting playoff series. I'm excited to have this stuff start. You know, it's we were kind of starved for hockey for so long because of this lockout. Now that the playoffs are here, I mean, this is really going to be a lot of fun to watch. It's a good time to be a hockey fan right now. And the Capitals are going to be a dangerous team, like you said before. These guys, they're getting hot at the right time. And I want to bring this up as well. The guy that a lot of people were saying, where is he the last couple of years? But I got to say, the biggest reason why the Capitals are doing so well has to be the two O's, Adam Oates and Alex Ovechkin. You know, these two guys, they're really bringing their A game here. And Oates has got his system, and it's working for the guys. But Ovechkin's behind the system. Ovechkin's enjoying himself playing out there. You could tell under Hunter and under Bruce at the end, Ovi was not a happy guy. And I think that was really affecting him. The other thing that I think has to happen during this playoff run, every game, his fiance has to be in the crowd somewhere. And then I think we're going to be okay.
Well, I certainly don't mind seeing her on the screen when she's there. That's always nice. No, I think in regards to Ovechkin, if Oates, he may not get a nomination for the Jack Adams, but I certainly think he's earned the right to be in the conversation. I think what he's done with the team this year, not so much anything regarding to last year, because yeah, I mean they were struggling last year, but they were still a pretty good team. But I think what he did to have this sort of he had a week to install a new system with these guys, and they started out just horrendously. And it wasn't because the players were bad. It was just it took them that long to understand the system. And we knew that going in. People in New Jersey and in Washington were saying, this is going to take some time. But now that it did, we saw that it can work. And he brought them from the just worst in the league to being a very good team, third seed in the playoffs, although technically I believe they'd be sitting fifth by point standings. But I think they're better than where they are in the standings because they've had such a bad start to this season. I think Oates has done a phenomenal job. He definitely should be in the conversation for getting an award at the end of the season. In regards to Ovechkin, I mean, he took the team, he put them on his back, and he began carrying them the rest of the way. He has done phenomenal. He now leads the league in goals with 31, two more than Tampa Bay Steven Stamkos. And he's also 5 points back in the NHL points lead. Ovechkin sitting at 53. He is 5 points back of Tampa's Martin St. Louis. And actually, Oates came out and said after the win versus Toronto, I believe a week ago, that he thinks Ovechkin should be the MVP of the league. And his name has been popping up around the NHL as a guy who could get a nomination and even another trophy there and getting the Hart Trophy. Because I think he definitely has done a phenomenal job carrying this team going. If he wasn't on this team, I don't think they're in the playoffs right now.
No, absolutely not. Ovechkin, he's been the heart and soul for this team for a long time. And even though it didn't feel like his heart and soul were in the game the last year or two, this year something's different. And it may be the fact that he has a fiance. It may be the fact that
I was just going to say that.
It really might be. You know, it might be a lot of personal stuff. Maybe even it was playing hockey in front of, you know, Russian fans in the KHL. Maybe he's come back to the NHL and kind of realized, wow, I really like these big audiences. And I got something to approved now. Maybe he's a type of guy who wants to have two rings, you know? He wants to have the KHL ring that he's going to get for Dynamo winning the KHL, you know, their cup, and then the Stanley Cup. He wants to be the guy he's got plenty of motivation here. You know, it might even be something, the fact that Milbury's got something to say about him, and now that Ovechkin's doing well, you don't hear about him anymore. So it's all this motivation that Ovechkin's working with, and I think it's all working for him. And hey, whatever works for you, get it done, because this is the Ovechkin. He's the Ovechkin of 2009 that I enjoyed seeing, you know. He was the guy that had all that fire in his belly, and you could tell that he wanted to be out there on the ice. It's just like that again. This does not feel like a chore anymore. It feels like it's really about passion. It's about being the best hockey player you can be. And I think Ovechkin is at that level right now. He's sick and tired of the mind games out there. He's sick and tired of people talking. He wants a cup, and I think he wants it now. So that's the best thing I can say, is this guy is doing everything he has to do for his team. And it's looking good right now. And when the playoffs start in just under a week, he's going to be the guy that everybody's going to be talking about.
I agree. I think as long as, you know, they don't get sort of freaked out and nervous like they've sort of done in the past, and they start out a little slow. I think they'll be fine. I think it'll be interesting to see who they go up against. I think depending on who they face, they certainly got some interesting situations. I think Toronto is a team that you're going to see go out and do – they're going to be very excited, but they might end up, you know, kind of letting their emotions get the best of them, which may end up costing them in the end. Ottawa sort of, you know, they did really well to start the season. They've actually been sort of dropping back lately. I certainly wouldn't mind facing the Senators, because I think that game that the Caps played against them last week was sort of a fluke, because as a team, the Caps just looked like crap in that game. And they weren't executing the system. They were sort of just going through the motions. And they even acknowledged after the game that they just did not bring their best effort. I think I would love to play the Senators, because I don't think that is a team that is certainly doing very well right now. The Rangers, I always want to avoid the Rangers, because I don't want to go up against Lundqvist. When that guy is like, okay, I'm going to play really well now, like, holy crap, he's very talented. I don't want to face him at any cost. Let somebody else face him, and they can battle it out and kill each other for all I care. Just stay away from Lundqvist. He scares me.
Yeah, Lundqvist is definitely a guy to look out for, especially in the playoffs. He loves playing in the playoffs. He's a dangerous guy. He's a great goalie.
But we'll be kind of afraid to go up against Hamrick again, though.
That's true.
That would, you know, nice little side story. Not a big deal, but it would be kind of fun.
Now, let me ask you this. There's been a lot of injuries out there for the Capitals. Of course, Brooks Like, Joel Ward, and Tom Pody, keeping those guys on the sidelines. Now, let's say that Joel Ward gets well again. Let's say Brooks gets well again and he can play in the playoffs. What do the Capitals do? Because the team that's out there right now seems to be gelling really well. Do you bring those guys back and kind of mess with the lines that are working so well, or do you have them come out and be Brooks Like and be Joel Ward and get them on the ice to do what they have to do? What would you do as the coach of the Capitals? Would you keep them on the sidelines as long as possible, or would you bring them back and get them on the ice?
See, I've been wondering this, what's going to happen. A lot of things I've been wondering about for next year, what they're going to do with the lines, because it seems like they like what Matthew Perreault is doing, so I don't really know where Brooks Like is going to fit in. Do you bump Erat back? Do you bump Bauer back? Do you bump Johansson back? Like, where does Like fit in? In regards to this season, if these guys are ready and back for the playoffs, which it's possible that one of them may be, although Ward's been kind of held up for a while now, so I'm wondering how bad his knee actually is. I could see Ward replacing Volpatti on the fourth line, going with Hendricks and Beagle and Ward. I think that would be a pretty solid line for the playoffs. As for Like, I don't know. It's tough to say. I mean, I could see – I don't think he's going to take out Chimera. I think Oates is a big fan of Jason Chimera. I could see potentially Matty P getting – some time in the press box, but I don't necessarily believe that also to be the case. I know this is kind of trying to, like, stepping around the question, but I honestly don't think any of the guys that are out right now are going to for the playoffs unless they make one hell of a run, unless they make it into the second or even the third round of the playoffs. It doesn't seem like Like's going to be back anytime soon. We haven't seen an update from him in quite a while, and it sounds like Ward's knee is actually pretty banged up after taking, what was it, the puck off of his knee. And Tom Pody, I don't think there's going to be any defensive changes. I think the defense is playing very solid right now. So whether Pody's healthy or not, I don't think anybody's going to be unless somebody makes like a huge screw up in like the next two games or in the first couple games of the playoffs, I don't see anybody getting benched anytime soon.
Well, that's good. I like what the defense is doing right now. I mean, John Erskine was a big part of that Winnipeg game. And I'm a big fan of Stephen Oleski. You know, I'm glad that they brought him up from Hershey. I think he's been a great addition to the defense. But let's talk about this. Earlier today, news came out that Eric Fehr and Volpatti actually got re-upped in their contract, which I got to say, I'm pretty happy with.
I would like to say that I called Eric Fehr getting signed by the Caps. Back in the – what was it? Back in the summer or in the fall?
Right.
This is summer. I remember I put out a tweet and I was like, oh, I think it would be great if the Caps would bring back Eric Fehr or something like that. And then seriously, within like 20 minutes, there's a tweet from the Capitals saying that they had signed Eric Fehr. And I was like, called it! And then I've been saying this past – or for a while now. I'm saying, oh, I think it would be interesting. I think the Caps are going to end up re-signing Eric Fehr. And then finally, they signed him to an extension. He'll be making – his cap hit comes out to about $1.5 million over the next 2 years. It's actually a very good cap hit for what Eric Fehr does for this team. I like him being on the team. As long as he can stay healthy, I think he's a very solid guy to have around. And then Volpatti, I like. I don't think he's necessarily a guy you're going to see playing every night. He might actually end up spending some time down in the minors at some point, depending on what the Caps do in the summer. His cap hit comes out to $575,000, which is certainly a very good cap hit to have. So we'll see what happens with him. I like both of these deals. These aren't these moves where you're going out and you're signing Jeff Schultz to almost $3 million a year of a cap hit, which everyone went, what the hell are you doing? And then same thing with Tom Pody, where he got that new deal. And everyone's like, maybe wait until he finishes a season without getting hurt before signing him to a new deal. You know, it's one of those things. I like both of these moves by George McPhee. Solid all around.
Yeah, I'm very happy. I like Volpatti a lot. I think that was a great pickup this season. And like you said, if Eric Fair can stay healthy, he's definitely a great asset for the Capitals to have. But that's a big question mark, whether or not he can stay healthy. But hopefully everything works out, and both these guys are good additions to the Capitals. So very happy that they're there and that they're going to be working with the Capitals for, what was it, 2 more years, correct?
Yes. Yeah, both had 2-year deals announced today.
That's awesome. So congrats to those guys. Is there any other Capitals news we should talk about?
Well, let's give congratulations to Martin Erat, who scored his first goal as a Capital in the game versus Toronto. It was a nice job getting to the right spot right in front of the net to get a redirection. So congrats to him. The Caps extended forward Ryan Stoa to a 1-year deal. He's been playing the entire season in Hershey, but it's still nice to know that you have sort of these gritty guys hanging out in the minors you can bring up. And they also announced that they'll be extending their agreement with Reading for another season.
All right. It's good. Since I went up to Reading and actually got to see a game, it's good that they're going to be with the Capitals for a little bit.
Yeah, I would actually like to get a Reading Royals jersey, provided they don't cost like $500.
Yeah, those Capital Reading Royals
guys
jerseys
are freaking nuts.
They're pretty slick, but they're also pretty pricey.
$500, dudes are crazy.
All right, well, if that's it for Caps news, why don't we go up 83 and let's talk Hershey Bears and Reading Royals. All right, well, we're getting ready for the Stanley Cup in the NHL, but there's a lot of stuff going on in the minors. What's going on with the Bears and the Royals right now?
Well, just like the Washington Capitals, the Hershey Bears and Reading Royals, as Hershey Bears, they've all clinched the playoffs. Hershey actually ended in the 8th seed in the Eastern Conference playoffs, and they'll be playing the Boston Bruins minor league affiliate, the Providence Bruins, very clever naming there, gentlemen, in the first round of the Calder Cup playoffs, which I believe starts this weekend. Reading defeated Greenville in 5 games in the first round of the ECHL playoffs. Their 4 wins were all by shutouts, becoming the first team in ECHL history to win a series with 4 shutouts.
That's pretty amazing.
Cool. I thought that was awesome. That dude, Riley Gill, man, he's doing pretty well up there in Reading. Reading is actually currently in the second round of the playoffs, taking on the Florida Everblades. Everybody get it? It's a play on words. In the conference semifinals, which started last Friday, they're currently down, though, 2-1 in the series after losing tonight 4-1. Hopefully they can turn things around and be able to pull off the series and move on to the next round. And something interesting about the second round of the playoffs for Reading, they're actually wearing special jerseys. They look just like the Caps red ones, except instead of Washington Capitals, it says Reading Royals across the front. They're just like the white ones they wore before, although these are obviously in red. They're pretty cool. I kind of want to get one, not if it costs $500.
Yeah, it's a bit much. I like mine. I got on eBay for $40.
That's a good deal.
Yeah.
That's I like $40, $500. I think we can see which one I'd rather pay.
Yeah. Well, you know what? If you're a Caps fan, no matter where you live, Reading, Hershey, or D.C., Baltimore, Virginia, whatever, there's going to be plenty of hockey to watch because all 3 teams in the postseason, in their playoffs of their respective leagues, so that's pretty awesome. But why don't we go around the NHL? All right, well, there's plenty of stuff going on around the NHL. The Stanley Cup playoffs are right around the corner. Coach Dan, why don't you give us an update of what's going on in that playoff race?
Well, let's look at the Eastern Conference first. Unfortunately, the evil and dreaded Pittsburgh Penguins have locked up the Eastern Conference number one seed. They actually end with 70 points. Well, not end, but they will be ending. Right now, they're sitting at 70 points. I believe they have 2 games left in the season. They have 70 points. Boston Bruins, who are currently in second, have 59 points. So I don't anticipate Boston being able to catch them because this is not some form of NBA jam. Behind them, of course, is the Washington Capitals. And fourth currently is Montreal. Toronto is fifth. The Islanders are sixth. Ottawa is seventh. And the New York Rangers are eighth. Everybody else in the Eastern Conference, with the exception of the Winnipeg Jets, are currently out of the playoff race. They have been eliminated. So that's New Jersey, Buffalo, Philly, Carolina, Tampa, and Florida. They are all will be golfing in the very near future. Let's head over to the Western Conference. Chicago has locked up the number one seed in the West. They are currently sitting at 73 points. They have 3 games left. Just past them at second is Bruce Boudreau and the Anaheim Ducks. Now, everyone's saying how Boudreau's doing all great and everything in Anaheim, and I like Boudreau. I'm not saying anything negative about him, but we've seen this before. So let's all calm down and see how he can actually do in the playoffs. We've seen him go crazy in the regular season, and then his teams flame out because they're all about offense. So before we go nuts and jump on the Bruce Boudreau bandwagon, Everybody just chill. Okay, and the third seed is the Vancouver Canucks, and then we have San Jose in fourth, followed by L.A., St. Louis, who clinched. So Jay Bouwmeester will be able to play for the first time ever in the Stanley Cup playoffs. So congrats to Bouwmeester for so much mediocrity, and they finally made it. And then currently fighting for their playoff lives, Minnesota is sitting in seventh. Detroit is currently in eighth. And then there's Columbus, who is actually a pretty good story right now. And then the Dallas Stars, who are sitting in 10th in the West. So currently Columbus and Dallas are on the outside looking in, but both still have a very good opportunity to make the playoffs, although they'll likely need to win out and get a little bit of help in, from Detroit and Minnesota in losing. Otherwise, Phoenix, Calgary, Edmonton, Nashville, and Colorado, all of their golf courses will be a little bit busier next week.
Oh, wow. Poor Varley.
Well, you know, it's not his fault. He's played well. But, yeah, his team is currently – it looks like they pretty much have locked up the second worst record in the NHL.
Jeez. Wow. All right.
Yeah, things have not gone well out in Colorado, I believe. So, you know, it's a little rough. He's actually – he's played well. They seem to like him out in Colorado, I believe. But he's – yeah, that the Avalanche – this actually would have been the year I would have much preferred to have had that Colorado draft pick in the first round than last year, even though that did sort of – get us Forsberg, and then that got us Erat. Or maybe that was Wilson pick. I don't know. No, his Forsberg pick was Colorado. So we got him, got Erat. I'd rather have the pick this year because who knows? That could potentially be the number one pick, which could get us Seth Jones. And that dude's supposed to be pretty good.
That's very true. It could be the number one pick with all the new rules going into effect. So that's very interesting. All right. So anything else going on around the NHL?
Well, a lot of the news came out in the last week or two. Things have kind of quieted down this week, but last week Edmonton fired their general manager, Steve Tambellini, replacing him with former head coach Craig McTavish. Now, my big thing was, why would you fire him now? Like, why not wait till after the season? Why would you fire him after the deadline? Like, if you're going to fire your GM, do it before the deadline or do it after the season. What point in doing it now? You can't make any moves. Not really. You can sort of get prepared earlier, and maybe that's the reason they do it. And then the best part of the whole thing, I thought, besides that, was that Edmonton president of hockey operations Kevin Lowe was defending his decisions as team president by saying he knows how to win because he won multiple Stanley Cups as a player. So to recap, he's saying he's good in the front office because he won Stanley Cups as a player. Not sure I see the connection between two there. Okay. It's one thing to be playing on the ice. It's another thing to sit up in the press box. So, yeah. And, you know, he hasn't exactly done the greatest job. He's got a bunch of first-round picks, but they're currently sitting at third to worst in the Western Conference. So, good for you. The Red Wings signed goalie Jimmy Howard to a six-year deal worth a total of $31.8 billion. That is a pretty good deal for him. He'll be sticking around. I was wondering if Detroit was going to actually go out and look for a goalie, maybe a possible trade partner for Michael Neuwirth. You can cross them off the list. And then Tampa Bay signed they recently traded for goalie Ben Bishop to a two-year deal. Terms were not announced. They actually acquired him from Ottawa for Corey Konecker at the trade deadline. Former Caps prospect, I mentioned him a couple of moments ago, Philip Forsberg, made his NHL debut a little while ago, going scoreless in a loss to the Detroit Red Wings. He actually did look pretty good in that game, though. He currently sits at a -3 in four games with one assist, so congratulations on your first NHL point. Although, let's be honest, it's far too early in his career to say whether he's going to be good or not. Montreal forward Ryan White was suspended last week for five games for an illegal check to the head of Philly defenseman Kent Huskins. I don't know if you saw this hit, but holy crap, it was a bad hit. It was dumb. White didn't even have him lined up, and he could have just moved out of the way, but instead he sort of lunged over to the side and just decimated Huskins. It was a dumb hit, and he definitely deserved a five-game suspension. And then former Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff will be coaching Team Canada at the International Ice Hockey Federation World Championship next month in Sweden. Huh. That's pretty cool for him, and I would expect if there's a couple coaches that are released from their duties – I would expect Lindy Ruff to get a couple of phone calls in the very near future. That is all of the interesting NHL news from the past 2 weeks.
Well, there is something that you are definitely leaving out of the interesting.
Oh, no. What did I leave out this time?
I don't blame you. It's okay. It's because – but you got a girlfriend. That's why. But Vancouver, the Green Men, they had one of the best showings the game this past week where they held up a big green blanket. And then they did a magic trick, pulled it down, and Gene Simmons' really hot daughter was there instead of one of the Green Men. So that was just amazing. She was wearing a Vancouver Canucks jersey, and I think I'm in love. So
I need to look this up. I don't know what you're talking about.
It's pretty amazing. The Green Men, two of my favorite fans of all sports. But having Gene Simmons' hot daughter there, pretty great for the NHL and all of mankind. So that's my little tidbit about what's going on around the NHL. But hey,
I think that was more interesting than anything I said.
Thank you so much for listening to What the Puck. Now, if you want to talk hockey before you listen to us in a week or so, make sure you follow us on Twitter. You can follow me at Brando Cash. Coach Dan, he's at WTP Coach Dan. And follow the show at WTP_podcast. But Dan, we're on Facebook as well. So where can people check us out on Facebook?
You can always check out the show at facebook.com/WTP podcast. But for more Capitals information, head over to capitalsoutsider.com. I am a writer over there. I have an article I'm working on at the moment. Hope to have it out in the next couple of days. And I believe we'll be having a playoff edition roundtable for all the writers over there for our predictions and how we feel about the playoffs going in. Check it out. It's capitalsoutsider.com. But Brandon, what about the Brando Cash Network?
That's right. Go over to facebook.com/BrandoCash. Like us over there. You get all the information about this show and all the other shows on the Brando Cash Network. And biggest thing you can do to help us out, make sure you tell people that you dig What the Puck. We do this show almost every week if we're not having server issues for free. So, you know, you could really help us out by spreading the word about What the Puck. Let people know on Facebook, on Twitter, on Tumblr, on Pinterest, on Vine, on Tout, on Reddit, anywhere Caps fans may be. Let them know that you dig What the Puck, and that you can listen to us on iTunes or on Stitcher. I believe the Stitcher, we were having trouble figuring out how to get the show on Stitcher because we switched servers, but I believe that's all fixed, so Stitcher should be available as well now. Make sure you subscribe either on Stitcher or on iTunes. You just click subscribe, and everything gets streamed straight to your media device or your iTunes account whenever a new show pops up. If you're on the web, you're bored at work, you can go to whatthepuckcaps.brandocash.com, and you can listen to the show there, and you also find bios for two fellows like myself and Coach Dan and read all about us. So thank you so much for listening to What the Puck. Go Caps. The playoffs start next week. Until then, though, we have two more games in the regular season for the Capitals. Thursday, April 25th against Ottawa in D.C. at 7 p.m. on Comcast Sportsnet if you can't be at the phone booth. And then Saturday, April 27th against Boston, the Boston Bruins at 7 p.m. Comcast Sportsnet. We get to have Jager come back to DC once again this season, so that'll be kind of interesting to see. And so thank you so much for listening. Hopefully we'll be back next week. We'll let you know. Make sure you stay tuned with us on Twitter and Facebook so we can keep you updated. But thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.
This has been a production of the Brando Cash Network. Music mixed and produced by DJ Wolfman.
Joining me as always via Skype, we got Coach Dan. What's going on, dude?
I'm doing pretty good. Last night's
you're
game, how
not,
are you doing?
You're not. You're broken up.
I'm gone already.
That was quick.
Great freaking start. How are you doing? No one knows because you can't hear me.
So why don't we talk about, we're heading up into the Stanley Cup playoffs soon, but why don't we go around the league? Is it around the league or around the NHL?
It's around the NHL.
That's what I thought. Damn it. Well,
well put.
Thank you.
I couldn't agree more.